1 Corinthians 7, from verse 25 to the end of the chapter, verse 40. I confess at once that this is a very tricky passage. It needs very careful exegesis and more time than I want to give it in this short discourse. There is also the problem of the translation. There is a large section here that has a possibility of at least two different translations. From verse 36 to verse 38. And then again, there is something here of culture. All scripture is written within the context of a culture. And it's not always easy to see how much that culture plays on the interpretation of any particular passage. There are things here about courtship and marriage that I don't understand in the sense of culture. But I get the same in the book of Ruth. Ruth courts Boaz, and it is that way around. And it's a different culture to what I'm used to and can understand by experience. So, for these reasons, the exegesis, the translation, and the culture here, there is, for me at least, considerable difficulty as to the correct interpretation of every aspect of this section of Scripture. I want to draw out what I see as the leading principle, the leading principles. Paul is talking about marriage, though. Let me just list the principles that I see here. Whatever decision is made about marriage, whether to marry or not to marry, whether to marry again after the death of the husband or the wife, this question of marriage, there is a higher principle whether we are married or not married. And that is, for the believer, the principle is devotion to Christ. Paul has announced it in verses 22 and 23. Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become the slaves of men. The Lord's slave, Christ's slave. Devotion to Christ. And you get it again in verse 35. I am saying this, and he's giving some advice and some counsel and instruction. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. So I address all believers. I address myself, married, widowed, unmarried. The first and leading principle, whether married or unmarried, is for me as a believer to live a life that is devoted to Christ, serving Christ, honoring Christ, in my marriage or outside, not being married. Being married or unmarried, living for the glory of Christ. That would be the first principle I bring here. Marriage is a very wonderful thing, but devotion to Christ overrides everything. So whether we are married or unmarried, whether we're slave or free, whatever condition we're in, Paul has used this illustration throughout, whatever circumstances we're in, marriage, and he's talking about slavery as well in the earlier part of the chapter, the great principle for the believer is, whatever I do, do all for the glory of God. Devotion to Christ. A second leading principle I see here, the entire passage is to do with this, obedience to Scripture. Verse 39 to 40 comes over very strongly. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, and so on. Now, where does the bound to her husband as long as he lives come in? Well, it's the Lord's
rule.
It's the Lord's governance. And the believer is under Scripture, under God's Word. He's not governed by the culture in which he lives. He's not governed by the mores of the society around him. He is governed by Scripture. The society in which I live now sanctions single-sex marriages and so on, civil partnerships and all that kind of thing. What does the believer do in such circumstances? He obeys God's word. This can be very costly. The Anabaptists, for example, would not be married by the Roman Catholic rites and ceremonies and situations and circumstances. They married within their own congregations. They married in their own terms. Of course, the papists could say that these people do not get married. They live in sin, as they would say, because they did not go through the hoops that the Roman Church wanted them to go through. We don't worry about the hoops that the Roman Church demands. We go according to Scripture, said the Anabaptists. Now, we do what we can to meet our society, but when the conflict comes, the principle I see in this word here, in this passage, and, of course, everywhere in the Scriptures, is the believer is under God's word. A third principle, by the way, let me just say one more thing on that. I hope, believer, we are in that position today. We're not going to the world for advice and counsel over the word of God. God's word is paramount for us, is it not? Is that not a settled principle? The third principle I would see here, that whatever decision we make about marriage, and whatever marriage state we're in and so on, remember that the characteristic of this age for the believer is one of persecution and trouble. Now, verse 26, Paul talks about the present circumstances, and what does he mean? Many troubles, he talks about it in verse 28. 29, the time is short and so on. This age is passing. Christ is coming again, and things in this life are temporary. They can be very precious and very wonderful, marriage particularly. But we must live, not as those engrossed by this world, verse 31. For this world in its present form is passing away. Here is the principle. Persecution, trouble, the temporary nature of this age. We live as citizens in this world, yes. Our main citizenship is in heaven. Let us be aware of the persecution and the difficulties. And let us live too. There is another principle there. Devoted to Christ, not engrossed by this world in all its circumstances. Again, the marriage for a believer must only be to another believer. Verse 39, if her husband died, he's talking about a widow here, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. That's the abiding principle. Believers marry believers. So I address here, at this point, any believer who is contemplating marriage only to a believer. Ooh, that's strict. God says it. He must belong to the Lord, says the Scripture. Verse 39. We just agreed just now that the believer is under Scripture. And there's the scriptural statement. Again, another principle comes over here. Marriage involves commitment. Clearly. Verse 32. A married man is concerned about the things of this life, because he has to care for his wife, and so same with the wife and the husband. Devotion to Christ overrides everything, but when we're married, we have commitments and responsibilities, and we must discharge them. The Word of God speaks of it, Ephesians 5 and so on, many places. And as husbands, as wives, we have to live devoted to Christ, but also committed to our husband or wife, wife or husband. And Paul is realistic about this. And urges us, presses us to look at Scripture and to be self-controlled and disciplined. There is another principle. Verse 37, settled the matter in his own mind, control over his own will. And so, self-control in all these things, even and especially within marriage. one interesting technical point. Verse 39, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. Speaking of the marriage state, there is a binding there. There is a covenant there. There is an agreement there. There is a commitment there. The word of God makes it a marriage covenant. But if her husband dies, she is free, bound and free. If you remember in verse 15, I made the point that if an unbeliever leaves because he will not tolerate the conversion of the believer, the believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. I made the point that in my view, I stuck my neck out and I maintain it still, that the believing man in such a circumstance, when the unbeliever will not tolerate this spiritual conversion, the believer is free, not bound. I refer to Romans 7. I now refer to verse 39 and 40, but certainly verse 39. The word bound shows here is bound and free, free to remarry. And so it confirms very, very strongly, even more strongly than I said at the time. I refer to Romans 7, which I still do. But coupled with verse 39, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free. If the unbeliever will not tolerate the believer being a Christian and goes, the believer is free, verse 15. A man, a believing man or woman, is not bound in such circumstances. They are free to remarry. Well, I've said very little about this passage, really. I've said very little about, and nothing at all about verses 36 to 38. As I say, there's two translations there, at least two, and there are cultural issues that I don't follow. But I've given what I see as these principles. Devotion to Christ. Obedience to Scripture. Conscious of the present time and of persecution and trouble. Marriage only to a believer. Being realistic. Marriage involves commitment, self-control and discipline, under Scripture, and all in accordance with the will of God for the glory of Christ. As I say, the leading principle is devotion to Christ. That's how I see this passage. Let us, believer, live today for the glory of Christ.